Five, four, three, two, one, fire!
Read all about it. U.S. satellite in orbit. Get your morning times. Read all about it. U.S. satellite in orbit. President says world to get data. Read all about it. Times, mister?
We did it. We finally did it.
Launched it. Hung it there. 2,000 miles in the sky.
A tiny thing.
A most peculiar kind of star.
Too small to see.
Big enough to hear.
They're listening to it all over the world.
In England.
Good show. Jolly good show.
In Germany.
They're only steps behind the Reds in nuclear genius.
In Russia.
Red China.
Japan.
India.
Africa.
The West Indies.
Mankind was tuned in to a new star.
It was a great day for America, January 31st, 1958. Future generations will remember it as the day, or night, of the satellite. After two disastrous tries, we had done what the Russians had dared us to do, hurl a satellite into the heavens. America pounded its chest in glee. But down in Huntsville, Alabama, where the Jupiter C rocket was born, it was New Year's Eve all over again. Motorists sounded their horns in brassy hallelujahs. Fire engines and police cars rumbled through the streets, their sirens screaming. Downtown Huntsville blossomed with placards, hand-painted on cardboard and affixed to wood. "Move over, Sputnik," they said. "Space is ours." Yes, space was ours. But when was the key fashioned? And where? And how? Let's roll back time. Fly southward toward the sun. And visit a tiny dot of sand by the Atlantic. A place called Cape Canaveral, Florida. It is January 31st, 1958. The time, 10:46 p.m. The launching pad is busy. The gantry moves back from the standing rocket. Now you are in a blockhouse, a shock-proof building 750 feet from the launching site. The control room is crowded. 35 men hunch over consoles or watch the field outside over closed-circuit TV. In spite of the air conditioning, the room seems hot. Dials turn, pointers spin. A big man in a bright sport shirt gives orders. He is the field manager, the master of the countdown. Your eyes leave him. Your gaze moves to the field beyond. Through the blast-resistant windows, you see her. The Jupiter C, tall as a five-story building she is. Her steel body, a silvery gleam in the wash of great searchlights. Red lights flicker in the night and play around her. She waits for the signal to fly. Oh, she's a proud thing, standing there, her nose to the sky, supporting the tiny explorer she'll carry into orbit. Somewhere a klaxon moans. You glance back at the field manager. He stiffens, his body tense as a spring. You look at the clock. The second hand is racing toward 0 hour.
5, 4, 3...
The field manager gives the countdown.
2, 1, fire!
A finger presses a button, and for an endless interval, perhaps a second, there is no sound at all. And then... a sound like a million gas jets spurting. A great orange fire blossoms at its base, and slowly, with a painful push against gravity, the rocket begins to rise. Slowly, slowly, then faster and faster. And she is gone, pouring through the black sky. A high curve of fire. And on the beaches nearby...
See it?
Look at it. Holy cow.
There it goes.
Good, great.
The time, 10:48 p.m. Southward she flies, toward the Caribbean. Those in the know listen for the explorer's voice. And at 10:51, in the offices of the New York Times... A reporter, bent over a special shortwave set, calls out,
I picked her up. Listen.
Listen. The satellite is talking. That's her voice, that hum. It'll tell scientists what they have to know before they can put man into outer space. It'll tell them what the cosmic ray count is, how dangerous micrometeorites are, what the temperature is out there. It's 12:45 a.m., an observatory on the west coast. The voice of the explorer comes in again. She's in orbit now, and she's still talking in a weird, unearthly pattern, a hum that comes and goes, rises and falls. Her own language, not the beep-beep of the Soviet Sputniks, but a hum. There was something unreal about it, something that made you stop and think and ask questions.
Wonder what keeps it whirling?
What holds it up there?
Who put it there?
Who put it there?
Galileo, Italian.
Newton, English.
Franklin, American.
Einstein, Jew.
Fermi, Italian.
Von Braun, German.
Mankind, dreaming.
God, engineering.
But not everyone approved the conquest of space.
It ain't right.
Man's going too far.
Trying to play God.
It ain't right.
God's gonna smite us down someday.
Speak to us out of the whirlwind like he spoke to Job.
Teach us humility like he taught it to Job.
Can you number the clouds?
No.
Were you there when I laid the earth's foundation?
No.
Did you pour out the Milky Way?
No.
Or loose the bonds of Orion?
No.
Can you feed the ravens?
No.
Did you paint the peacock's wings?
No.
Did you unleash the lightning?
No.
Did you guide the eagle in its flight?
No.
Have you ever commanded the morning or given instructions to the sun?
No.
But we have built a star.
It was the simplest of things.
The most difficult of things.
Like throwing a stone.
At 18,000 miles an hour.
That's the speed of it.
The incredible speed of it.
Arcing around the world.
At 18,000 miles an hour.
So fast gravity can't field it.
Nor any pitcher snag it.
Man, we've hit a homer.
Right out of the ballpark.
We've overshot Earth.
Slipped through the fist of atmosphere.
Reached outer space.
It's up there now.
Falling in an arc around the globe.
Hunting, seeking the place where it got started.
Whirling round and round.
True to its own laws.
But there's atmosphere, even out there.
A trace, a trifle.
Just enough to slow its speed.
Drop it lower, spiral it down.
Set it on fire, end its life. It was the simplest of deeds.
The wildest of deeds.
Centuries in the dreaming.
Minutes in the launching.
It's a great age we live in.
A frightening age.
Terrible.
Challenging.
Glorious.
We'll reach the moon someday.
Explore Venus.
Tour Mars.
Skip along the handle of the Big Dipper.
Pop the chains of Orion.
Set the dials of morning.
Stop the clock of evening.
Regulate the rainfall.
Harness the clouds.
Feed the ravens.
Populate the moon. Ain't right we did it.
Man's destiny is greatness.
Man's going too far.
Wonder where it'll all end.
Mama? Mama, look at me. I'm a moon man. I'm going to go to the moon.
It's a frightening age.
A terrible age.
A challenging time.
A glorious time to be alive.
And from the pages of the New York Times, an editorial comment worth remembering.
If space is to prove merely an extended arena for man's age-old wars and quarrels, then all humanity will have failed to realize what is at stake. But if all men realize that the space age can be worth achieving only if it is also the age of peace and goodwill, then we and our descendants will be worthy of the adventure and the challenge before us.
You have just heard The Day of the Satellite, written by Clotie Murdoch and directed by John Sunier. In our cast were Ralph Bowers, Tom Dixon, and Clotie Murdoch. This is your narrator, Bill Warmington. Engineering by Frank Moore.